Keaton Gloguly sitting down with Aaron Munoz, Lugnuts catcher, John Birdie, Lugnuts second baseman, and Jesse Hernandez, Lugnuts right-hander. Today we're talking base stealing. Munoz a catcher, Jesse Hernandez a pitcher. They're trying to keep guys like John Birdie from taking that extra base once they get on. So John, let's first start. When you get on base, what kind of situations are you looking to run in?
Well, definitely when leading off a game, getting on base, I'm definitely looking to see what kind of moves the pitcher has over to first, trying to draw some throws over. After that, hopefully we already have a time on him, how quick he is to the plate. If he's around 1.3 seconds or so, that's kind of where I'm looking to maybe take that extra base, hoping that the catcher Munoz doesn't have too good of an arm back there.
Jesse, he just said he likes to try to draw some throws over. Do you think about that? Do you maybe make a different throw over to first base to try to fool him?
Yeah, early on in the game when a runner first gets on, especially a quick guy like Birdie is, your first move over there isn't necessarily going to be your A move. You want to just maybe do a bluff move over there so they get a time on you. Hopefully that time's a little higher than your A move. A move being, what do you guys look for, like a 1-1?
I think
or anything under one.
1 second is like average.
Yeah, anything under a one is probably an A move.
Is real quick,
yeah. So you want to give them something over that 1 second mark. But personally with me, I don't like to throw over too often just to try to keep the runners guessing as to what my A move would be. So what I do instead is I like to hold the ball, vary my times to the plate. So once I come set, I might hold that ball for 4 seconds. I might hold it for a half a second and go, which kind of mixes up their timing on me so they can't get a very good jump.
John, how do you tell if a guy's using his A move or a bluff move?
You can kind of, depending on the pitcher on the mound, like Jesse, he's an athletic guy. So if he comes over kind of slow, I might think, all right, maybe he's got something better, maybe not. And I think that's kind of what he wants me to think, kind of start second guessing myself and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm definitely just looking for the only reason why to try to see his A move is because we want to see if we can extend our lead any farther than our normal one.
Aaron, when you're behind the plate, what kind of things do you see out of a potential base stealer where you think, well, he might be going within the next pitch or two?
Well, first of all, you already know what kind of base runner is on base, you know, whether he's a quick guy or a slow guy. So that varies, too, on the team, you know, whether going into the game, we already know, all right, this guy, if he gets on, you know, be ready. But, you know, the pitcher obviously can't see his lead, so, you know, you trust his catcher, you know, to see whether it's a bigger lead, whether he's shortened up a little bit, whether – you know, the first time he's been on base, whether it's longer, shorter, or whatnot, and that relays a message to the pitcher. Hey, I let him know, hey, you know, that's a pick right here, just to keep him honest.
So what percentage would you say you call pickoffs compared to what the pitcher just throws over?
Usually, you know, I would say 80 to 85% of the time it's called by either the manager or the catcher if he sees something different.
Now, do you set up differently behind the plate at all when you know you've got a guy and you might have to be getting up and throwing quickly?
Oh, absolutely. You're always ready for that guy to steal or not. So we have a secondary stance. As a catcher, we're always ready when someone's on base. So, yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned varying your times. Have you found that actually helps?
Oh, yeah. It's actually funny. Last year in Vancouver, we actually had a little bounty going between me and the manager. Where if I held the ball for 8 seconds, I would get a prize. And I'm still waiting for that prize. I did get my 8 seconds. Took me a while. But it's hard because sometimes that the hitter, if he's pretty aware at the plate, he'll call time to give his runner at first a break. Because as a runner, when you're ready to go, it's not just the relaxed getting your secondary. You're pretty tense and you're ready to get that first jump on the pitcher's move. So the longer I can hold the ball, the longer that runner's waiting in that tense position. So after a while, he might just shut it down. But along with that, I might sometimes come set with the intention of holding until that hitter calls time just to wear out the runner's legs a little bit. But a lot of it is the nonverbal communication between the catcher and I where he'll give me we have signs for hold the ball, we have signs for slide steps to be a little bit quicker to the plate, and we have signs for the pickoff as well. But along with that, we have the pitch out, which if we know a runner's going in that situation and we think we got a good chance of throwing him on at second base, taking that out, we're going to go ahead and pitch out.
John, how much does it affect you when you're trying to swipe a bag and a pitcher's sitting there holding the ball for 3-4 seconds?
Definitely. I was on the team with Jesse last year in Vancouver, and I was surprised how long he was able to hold it before even the hitter would call time. But, yeah, definitely a lot of times that'll dictate whether I'm going or not. If I have the intention that if I get a good jump, I'm going to steal, and he's sitting there holding it, and then all of a sudden maybe I'm not feeling as comfortable, and then, you know, I've got to shut it down because you don't ever want to go when you don't get a good jump because, you know, we have good catchers in this league like Munoz, and they'll throw you out.
All right, well, now let's say you're going. So you finally picked a pitch to go. Aaron, what's the key to making a good throw down to second base?
You know, staying under control, you know, trusting that your pitcher has delivered, you know, a good pitch to throw on, you know, because that's key right there. You know, you can't throw a ball down there if he doesn't throw a strike or over the plate. So, you know, you trust your pitcher to throw a strike, and you're just under control and try to do your best to throw him out.
John, once you're going, do you kind of get a feel if you had a good jump, and do you ever peek back and look at home plate?
Yeah, I definitely have a feel if I got a good jump or not, and sometimes the toughest thing is if you get a bad jump to stop, to hold yourself up and just break it off into a secondary lead and, you know, maybe try again next pitch or two. But, yeah, I definitely we're taught here in the Blue Jays organization to peek in just so kind of right around contact point to see if your hitter's swinging, if the ball's put in play, whether or not you need to get back, and then – also, I mean, if the hitter doesn't swing, I know if he does have a chance to make a good throw or not. But at that point, you're just going.
Now, what about your slide into second base? Do you ever decide, or do you always go head first? Do you always go feet first?
I mostly always go head first, just personal preference. Can be dangerous at times with broken fingers and stuff like that. But I usually always go head first. I feel I'm faster that way, so.
Now let's talk a little bit about stealing second to third, because that's a little bit different also. Jesse, what are some of the things you spot in a guy who might be trying to take third base? Because that's a little more difficult. It's a shorter throw for the catcher.
Yeah. Also, the runner at second base gets a little bit bigger lead, a little bit different angle, going into third base, trying to get that good round to home. So they kind of get their feet moving a little more than they would at first base. But when you see a guy leaning a little bit, you can kind of get a feel whether he's trying to get a good time on you, maybe go on the next pitch. So what we as pitchers like to do is maybe show an inside move, not necessarily trying to pick the guy off, but just let him know, hey, we're thinking about you. Also, with the holds, you can vary your holds a little bit there too as well. And when doing so, you give the looks. Sometimes you give two looks. Sometimes you give one look. I like to go a lot of no looks because as a base runner, I feel that they kind of get a time off of looks. So if I just don't give them a look at all, they're waiting for that next look, so they're not going to extend. And with that, we have set picks, like different pick plays where we do a quick pick. John and I, we were very good at it last year in Vancouver. I'd say we threw about – every time we did it, we probably threw out about 90% of the guys when we did it.
It's pretty efficient.
And all that is, it's a pick where right when I come set, my hands touch – he's there at the bag, and I'm spinning and throwing before that runner even has a chance to get set.
John, what's the key for you getting off of second base? Because your secondary lead, how you're taking that lead, it's got to be different from first.
Yeah, at second base, you're a little more upright. You're almost more athletic, so it's easier to get a good jump. And if you time it right, third base can be easier to steal, but at the same time, it's a shorter throw for the catcher. So. It can be tough that way. But, yeah, like Jesse was saying, there's some younger pitchers that maybe do the same thing every time and you can pick it up pretty quickly where they'll give you one look and you can pretty much, when they're turning their head back to the plate, pretty much start going because you know they're delivering home. But when you got a guy with more experience like Jesse who is going to change up the looks, maybe go no look, then it becomes more difficult on getting a good jump.
Aaron, for you, what's the key to make a good throw to third base? Because now you usually have a batter in your way.
Well, you know, you definitely want to clear from the hitter. If there's a right-handed hitter, you definitely want to clear him. If there's a lefty, obviously it's a lot easier throw. But going into what they said, you know, the situation dictates whether or not you're going to make that throw or not. You know, if we're up by, you know, 10 runs, there's no way we're going to make that throw down the second. And I know they say, you know, no offense to Jesse here, but they do say, you know, they steal off the pitcher, not the catcher most of the time. And, you know, you obviously got to make the throw, but, you know, it's all about timing when it comes to stealing. So if we can prevent that, and we'll be better off, you know, keeping guys from stealing on us.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me. We learned a lot about stealing bases. Aaron Munoz, the catcher, John Birdie, the base stealer, and Jesse Hernandez, the pitcher. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll have more Lug Nuts Baseball on Big Country 92.1.